The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want you to look with me in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Let's begin reading with verse 7. Behold, it is Solomon's bed, with 60 valiant men around it of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh. 60 valiant men with swords. Why? Being expert in war, every man has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. I want to continue on that vein for just a moment, but I want to talk to you about the priority of peace and why it really matters for a few moments. How to defeat fear. In the Bible, there's a word that you read that has to do with currency and money, and it is a word called talent. They used talents to measure the money and the weight of money. And a talent was considered 75, a talent of gold was 75 pounds. At $1,500 an ounce, around what it is now, up and down, but at $1,500 an ounce, that would be $1.6 million. This text is talking about Solomon and how God blessed him. And he, the scripture said, had 666 talents of gold each year valued at $1.9 billion a year that he would receive. He started out very humble. He started out with a generous heart. And when he dedicated the temple that he built to God, he sacrificed 120,000 sheep and tens of thousands of oxen, the choice ones, and offered them to God. And God was so moved by his sacrifice that that night when he was asleep in his bed, God came in his bedroom and God woke him from his sleep and God said, "What do you want? What do you want? I'm asking you." I've told God what I wanted. I've never had God come to me and ask me what I wanted. But he did this man, and he said, "Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you." And he said, "I want the wisdom to serve the people. I want to be effective for the people and serve the people. I need the wisdom of God." And God was so pleased with that answer that he said, "I will not only bless you with that wisdom, but I will bless you beyond anything you can imagine." And so here he is, the richest man in the world. There's a book that's written called The Richest Man in the World. It's a bestseller, and it goes into great detail about the wealth of Solomon. Some of that I'm going to share with you right now. $1.9 billion a year he took in Bible days. At the peak of his leadership, he had a net worth, if you do it in today's value, of $2 trillion, not billion, $2 trillion. 25 tons of gold were received by him for each of the 35 years of his life. On top of all of that gold, just solid gold wealth of $2 trillion, on top of that, he had a fleet of ships that sailed all over the world. He built them, and he was so rich that according to 1 Kings chapter 10, all of his cups were made of gold, not a cup in his cupboard that was made of silver. He only knew one level, and it was the gold level. And he wouldn't drink out of a silver cup, gold only. Solomon, listen to this. He received tribute money from every nation every year on top of that that was brought in, and they would pay him in ivory. They would pay him in precious garments, expensive, highly tapestry and expensive things that were worth great wealth, spices and precious stones. It talks about diamonds and rubies. Some of them paid him in diamonds and rubies. We cannot imagine the wealth this man had. He had a throne, and the Bible describes his throne as being covered with ivory and pure gold. There were six steps that led up to his throne, and on each step there was a lion made of gold, a statue on the left and on the right, and 12 of them up the six steps, all the way up to the gold and ivory throne. He had a footstool that was made of solid gold. That's when you know you're bad, when you have a footstool made of solid gold. He had 4,000 personal Ferraris called Stallions, and the garages for 4,000, the stables for 4,000 in Jerusalem alone that he kept, his personal favorites. Thoroughbred, Kentucky Derby, the best of the best bred horses. And then, because he really liked them, he had another 12,000 scattered in case he traveled, and they were ready at his beck and call. On top of all of the wealth that I've already described, he was a real estate tycoon. He owned all the land from the Euphrates River to Gaza, and from Gaza all the way to the Egyptian border. The supreme leader of Israel owned it all. So much during his wealth was there in silver that the Bible said it was as common to see stacks of silver as it was to see stacks of rocks. They had to stack it up and just put it anywhere they could put it, all over his properties. When he started out and God spoke to him and began to bless him, he had peace. It's interesting, he was asleep and God woke him from his sleep, and he had rest. He was in love with God. He was serving God supremely. Wanted to build him a house, was all about the temple, the church, was all about the presence, the Ark of the Covenant, was all about sacrifice and serving the people. And the Bible makes this comment about him in 1 Kings 4 and verse 24, as God began to bless him, he had great wealth, favor, wisdom, and there was rest all around him. Peace with all of, Bible said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And he had that kind of favor that there was nothing, notice the words now, rest and peace all around him. He's sleeping in his bed in his palace. He doesn't need security. God is his security, and he is blessed and highly favored of God. And then something happens. The Bible said that he began to marry strange women, meaning they were not of his faith. They were not of the covenant. They worshiped idols. They worshiped, we cleaned that up. They worshiped idols. If you were an idol worshiper, you were a satanic worshiper in the Bible. Always remember that. Check me out in history. I'm talking about child sacrifice. I'm talking about witchcraft. I'm talking about deep occult. And I just gave you all of his assets. Now let me tell you about his liability. He had 700 wives. 700. And that's not a shade on women. I'm just saying, one wife is all I can handle. How can you have 700 wives? And then he had 300 girlfriends. And every one of them were worshiping different gods. Now, this is so important. And I want you to see the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God, because it didn't happen overnight, but he married one and he married another. And somebody said, why did he do that? He was trying to get the finder, and he found out he couldn't get the first one to submit, and the second one wouldn't submit, and the third one, and he just kept, I'm kidding. All of this prosperity, now watch. Now we move into the Song of Solomon. He loves Jesus. He's in his bedroom, in his bed, sleeping, resting, has peace. He's not afraid of anybody, anything. There's rest throughout the land. He's got the favor and the goodness and the grace of God. It's a blessing. Now you fast forward. He's being pulled into sorcery. He's being pulled into worshiping other gods. There's idols all over his palace. There's idols all over his properties. There's idols all over his businesses. There's idol worship. There's fortune telling. There's all of those things. You know, the psychics and people that his wives are worshiping and burning incense and enchantments. Stay away from that stuff. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Don't play with it. Don't joke about it. Don't get around it. Don't dare go see a psychic or call a 1-900 California psychic. My God, they're about to fall off into the ocean if they don't watch it. Why would I want to follow you? I don't need a horoscope. I have the Holy Ghost, and he leads me and he guides me. And I'm not going to let a devil predict my future. And I love California. Have a church there. He had gardens. He had pools. Gardens. Not cabbage and tomatoes. I'm talking about gardens that were architectural wonders, breathtaking beauty, pools, servants, horses, stables, ships, chariots, exotic animals. He brought them in from all over the world for his own enjoyment. If I just get another house, he wakes up one day, and now in that same bedroom, or not the same bedroom, but perhaps the focus now is changed, and God is saying through this text, I want you to behold. If you notice, the first thing it tells us to do in the Song of Solomon, the scripture that I read, he said, behold his bed. The word behold means I really want you. Anytime you see the word behold in the scripture, it means I really want you to focus on this. I really want you to see this. I want you in your mind to get a picture of his bed now that he's turned his back on me and he's serving other gods, and his mind and his brilliance is all about him now. It's not giving glory to me. And so we see now he has everything, all these possessions. And the text said that his bed is surrounded with 60 personal bodyguards, warriors, the elite in warfare. We're talking about trained. Think of the movie 300. These kinds of warriors, 60 of them, it would have had to be six shoulder after shoulder after shoulder, layer after layer after layer, completely surrounding his bed in his bedroom. One group of 10, another group of 10, another group of 10, layer after layer, with their swords on their thigh, ready to kill, to fight to the death, trained all of their life like the Greek warriors used to be. They came up as a little child, being taken and trained to fight and defend. And he's so tormented. Why? Why does he have to have that kind of security? He's so tormented. He's so turned himself over that the enemy has released a spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, I got to read this verse, 1 Kings 11 in verse 14. Because he did this thing, because he married outside of the faith and began to be pulled into idolatry and witchcraft, which is rebellion, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. And that was a tormenting spirit that took all of his rest, that took all of his peace. He was terrified that he needed more and more and more security from man. There's no security in material things. I don't care how much you have. There's no security. There's no peace. There's no real rest. Oh, if I could just get that house, if I could just get that car. And there's nothing wrong. The Bible said God loves to bless us, and he joys in the prosperity of his children. But if it ever becomes about other gods and not the one God, Jesus Christ, then you don't understand what you're playing with. It's dangerous. For a man's life, Jesus said, does not consist of the abundance of things. You will not find life in material things. You can have it temporarily, and it'll have a little bit of pleasure, but it will leave you empty, as his words said, vanity. I have had it all, and I'm telling you, Solomon said, without the God, it's vanity. Some of you are thinking, what I need is possessions. And the Bible said, behold, consider, closely inspect, look at it, walk around it, in your imagination, see this bed. 600 valiant men, standing around it, armed with weapons, bodyguards around it. As soon as the nightfall came, the spirit of, just like Saul, an evil spirit of fear. For God has not, 1 Timothy 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when you give yourself over to witchcraft and all of those kinds of things, and even idols of this world, you lose your peace and you lose your rest, you lose your security. I'm not talking about just physical security. I have spiritual security. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going. I'm not insecure. I am eternally secure. I'm not eternally insecure. I am secure. I know that I have my past forgiven. I have a reason for living, and I have a future in heaven. And I'm secure in that. I lay down my head, and I know if I take my last breath while I lay on this pillow, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. You know, you ought to shout over that. The Bible didn't say rejoice if you can cast out demons. It said rejoice if your name is written in the book of life. So we're going to take a break, and we're not going another step forward till we just shout over the fact that you've got more security than 60 bodyguards. He's got you and your family in his hand, and he said no demon can pluck you out. Thank you, Lord. There's no peace in possessions without Jesus Christ. Here's the man who has everything. And this is the man with fleets and gardens and pools and pets worth $2 trillion. And his bed had to be guarded every night with 60 elite soldiers armed for him to even have a hope of getting sleep, because he is so tormented. And the problem was not a monster under the bed. The problem was the monster in the bed who is running from God. This is so interesting. The bed was not the one in the palace. The bed, according to the scholars, the bed they're referring to is the one that he used to travel with. He had an entourage, and they would go before him, and all the stuff, his food, his clothes, his wardrobes, they would all go in an entourage of guards and elite group of soldiers. And in that was this bed, and it was on wheels, and it was being pulled by his beautiful horses. The point is, he thought, if I can't sleep at home, then I'll start traveling, and I'll go here, and I'll go there, and I can rest. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And you need to quit blaming everybody for the reason you don't have peace in your own life and you don't have rest in your own life. It may be you can't have the peace of God until you get peace with God and you repent and you cry out to him and he washes you and he cleanses you and he breaks the spirit of fear off of your mind. It doesn't matter where he went, where he traveled, where he moved to. He was trying to escape his anxiety. He was trying to, you talk about panic attacks. You talk about a man who is tormented with fear. He was tormented with fear. And he had everything. You know, I'm not prospering if I don't have peace. I don't care what you've got. You're not prospering if you don't have peace. I don't care if you become, if you're one of the students here, if you become one of the chief cheerleading, leader of the cheerleaders, you're not prospering if you don't have peace when you lay your head down. If you hear a voice in the middle of the night that wakes you up and says, what are you doing? And why are you doing that? And why are you getting involved in that? I can remember how the Holy Spirit would speak to me and wake me up in the middle of the night. And I would get that feeling like, oh God, I'm not saved, but I'm not ready. I want to do my thing. Gives insight. Solomon was being tormented with fear. His problems were not external, they were internal. And he starts trying to run away. He's tormented with fear of the night. Some of you need to be shaken. Fear of the night needs to grip you. It's going to go dark one day. You may think you've got another 30 years, another 40 years. Another 50 years, but the truth is, the fear of the night without Jesus Christ, the fear of death, the fear of going into eternity without God, it needs to grip you. You're playing Russian roulette with your eternal soul. This mobile bed is a man living on the run. Some of you are running from God. You're trying it over here. You're trying this over there. I'm telling you, there is a peace that will come over you when you really sell out. It's miserable when you're running after these idols the world tells you will make you happy. Be like them and you'll be happy. Show me one of them that has that kind of prosperity in Hollywood or anywhere else right here in Gainesville. Show me one of them that has great wealth that and does not have the Lord, that truly, truly has peace and rest. There's something that's off when you have prosperity without peace in Jesus. And a man is living on the run for the fear of the night. Crippled by paralyzing fear. He's peace poor and money rich. I had rather be peace wealthy than prosperity wealthy. I had rather be peace blessed than I had material blessing. The crazy thing is when you put Jesus first, when your priority is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, when you seek first the kingdom of God, that's when He takes you into things and blesses you and helps you when you obey His word. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Peace poor is worse than prosperity poor. If you're tired of living on the run, if you're tired of anxiety, see him at the end of his life, bodyguards, cut off from everybody, can't go, can't have normal relationships. He's like, for those of you of my generation, Howard Hughes. That's what the enemy does. He just seals us off because we're trying to get security from other things than Jesus. And you can't find peace, and you can't find rest. And I'm telling you, the Lord told me to proclaim this over the people that would hear me today. You may be watching me in a mansion somewhere. And you're peace poor. You got everything that life is supposed to make you really, really a big deal. But inside, you're peace poor because you don't have Jesus. He is the greatest treasure. And what you're looking for can only be found in Him. What you're looking for has been looking for you a long time. And this is what I felt, that anxiety and fear, panic, I just see him. He said, behold his bed. I want you to see this man every night. He's got everything. And he crawls up in that bed with 60 armed security around him. And he's just laying there in torment of fear and panic. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's the future going to bring? 1 John chapter 4 said, perfect love cast out all fear. Perfect love is Jesus Christ on a cross bleeding and dying, taking your sins and saying, I'll take all the shame and all the condemnation, and I'll take the dark night of their life. I am the light of the world, and I'll trade it for light. And if fear has tormented you, if anxiety and worry has come over you, if you're in a situation where you've lost your peace, and I'm going to be very specific in closing this message. If you don't know the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is Lord of your life, and you keep waiting, and you keep waiting, and you keep waiting. God brought you to this service today. Wherever you're watching me, at all of our campuses, God ordered your steps today. I'm telling you, fear is going to break off of you. I'm telling you that anxiety and panic and worry and torment, mental torment, self-hatred, suicidal thoughts, self-hatred. It's going to break in Jesus' name. I just proclaim it over you. And I tell you, all of God's word backs up what I'm saying right now. Your security, your peace, and your rest must be in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. And He's reaching for you. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and please, no one moving in or out. This is the most important part of the service. Be very reverent. Thank you for that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor Jensen, in the overflow, wherever you are, in the prison, somebody may be new in prison and you're terrified. And God sent a preacher to you. He's forgotten about these thousands of people, and he wants you to know, I know where you are. I heard your mama's prayer, your grandmama's prayer. I know you never thought you'd end up where you are, but God's not through with you, and he's not finished with your story, and he's going to be your security. Whew. Glory to God. Bow your heads for a moment. Pastor Jensen, I don't have that peace. I'm far from God. I'm running from God. I'm not right with God. I'm searching. I'm going here. I'm going there. And I know the Lord is calling me to him this morning. I need this fear, this fear of the darkness, fear of death, fear of eternity. I don't want it hanging over me anymore. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want to be washed. I want him to change me. I want him to be Lord. If that's you and you know you're not right with God and you want to be, raise your hand as high as you can get it right where you're standing. At all of our campuses. Wonderful, wonderful. Raise them high and unashamed. There's no shame in it. There's victory in it. Raise it high and unashamed. Every one of you at every campus that raised your hand, get out of your seat and come down front. I feel this thing. If you know this morning, listen to me. And while they're coming, and there's a lot that's going to be coming, but listen, look at me, look at me, look at me. How many of you would say, I know this message is for me because torment of fear has been real in my life? Let me see your hand. If it's become a tormenting fear, you need to throw up your hands right where you're standing and begin to declare in the name of Jesus that that fear and that torment is broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's throw up our hands all over this room and let's tell Jesus, I choose you. You're my everything. Let's tell Jesus, I will serve you. Let's tell Jesus, you are the one that I choose, Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Anyone else? Hurry. This matters. Obedience matters. If he's telling you to walk down that aisle, don't stand there. Walk down that aisle because he's calling you to freedom. He's calling you to security, peace, and rest. My priority is peace, not possessions. My priority is peace. Raise your hands and declare.
we just take another moment, lift those hands. Let's not hinder what God is doing, its power. Just receive right where you're standing freedom from that fear. Perfect love, Jesus, cast out all fear. You don't have to fear the future. Pray this prayer, everybody, Jesus. Everybody pray this prayer, Jesus. I love you, and I surrender everything to you. And this morning, I receive freedom from the fear of the night. That's an important phrase for somebody. I don't know why, but it's an important phrase. Fear of the night has tormented you, but the tormentor is broken. His grip on your life is broken. That spirit is broken, and the Holy Spirit is taking his place. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.